You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, Governor Walker signed two laws today expanding the rights of gun owners. We'll talk to the head of Wisconsin, Kerry, about why he says Wisconsin needs these laws. First, one of the keys to the success of the Affordable Care Act is the enrollment of young people in health care plans. Having healthier young people on board who are, in theory, paying premiums higher than their actual medical costs helps balance out the older enrollees with higher estimated costs. One sticking point, many young people just don't understand the basic components of healthcare plans, and that could be deterring them from signing up. That's the takeaway from a new study, which looked at how a group of young college-educated people navigated the federal healthcare marketplace. In addition, the study found that many of them couldn't define important insurance terms like deductible or coinsurance. Dr. Charlene Wong is with us now. She's a clinical scholar and a pediatrician at the University of Pennsylvania. She's the lead author of this new study on young adults and health insurance. Dr. Wong, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Veronica.
So you conducted this study to find out how young people are doing when it comes to navigating healthcare.gov, and you found out that they're struggling. How significant is that to the success of the Affordable Care Act?
You know, that was one of the findings that we weren't actually super surprised about, because part of the reason that we were interested in looking at how young adults were going to go about navigating the process of choosing a health insurance plan on healthcare.gov was because choosing a health insurance plan, even for people who have done it multiple times, have a lot of experience, is just a complex task, the way that health insurance is set up in the United States. But interestingly, we wanted to see how young adults thought about this process and where they found barriers and challenges, and some of the issues that we identified that you already mentioned, like their unfamiliarity with basic health insurance terms, were areas where we identified that more could be done to better support them, and probably other consumers as well, not just young adults, in the complicated task of choosing a health insurance plan.
And we have heard over the months about how the success of the Affordable Care Act is going to hinge in part on getting young people enrolled. Is this a barrier to that?
You know, it could potentially be partially a barrier to having more young people enrolled, just because the process of actually figuring out what insurance plan you should select is a challenging one. But as you mentioned, it is definitely important that enough young adults enroll in the health insurance marketplaces to balance out what's called the risk pool for insurers, because as you mentioned, young people tend on average to be healthier and have lower health insurance costs compared to their older counterparts who have more chronic medical conditions and use more of the resources. In addition, historically, young adults have been among the most highly represented among the uninsured groups when you break it down. And so for all of those reasons, it is more important that young adults get enrolled in health insurance on the health insurance marketplaces. But we do think that, you know, again, there are some simple things that could be done to kind of lower those barriers that we identified in our study with the young adults who participated, that they identified as barriers to them actually being able to choose a plan.
And we'll get to those in just a bit. But first, tell us a little bit about the study and how you conducted it.
Yeah. So we identified young adults aged 19 to 30 in the Philadelphia area who were interested in buying a health insurance plan for themselves on healthcare.gov. And the study had a couple different components. The first was what we called the observation period, which is when we actually brought young adults and sat them down in front of a laptop computer and instructed them to go about trying to choose a plan as if they were doing it at home. However, we were both recording what they were doing on the screen as well as voice recording them, because we asked them to think aloud as they were looking at the different pages on healthcare.gov. And that was so that we could capture in real time, you know, what they were thinking and how they were reacting to what they saw on the website. Directly after this observation period, we interviewed each of the participants to ask them about things that may not spontaneously have come up during the observation period. So we asked them about things like what they perceived to be the advantages of getting health insurance, what were the disadvantages of getting health insurance, and then this is also where we asked them about their understanding of the different key health insurance terms that you had mentioned earlier. And then finally, we did a follow-up interview with them a month or two later after the open enrollment period had ended to see what their ultimate enrollment decisions were and also how they planned or had already used their new health insurance.
And it's interesting that you had them talk aloud. I'm curious, what kinds of things did they say while they were trying to figure out the healthcare.gov?
You know, I will say that overall, when they were entering onto the website, many of them were actually very pleased with what they were seeing. They liked the fact that there was actually an online platform for them to do shopping for health insurance, because this is the millennial generation who have grown up shopping on places like Amazon.com, Walmart.com, Apartments.com. So they liked the fact that they actually had this opportunity to shop online as opposed to trying to do a paper form and mail it in, that sort of thing. However, one of the, you know, initial pieces of feedback that they had as they were trying to sift through the plans and all the information that was listed about each plan was that it felt a little bit overwhelming. So, for example, young adults in Philadelphia had 30 plan options to choose between, which is a lot of options for somebody to try to make sense of. So, for example, one of them said, you know, and also because they were unfamiliar with the terms and there was just so much information, one of them said, I just wasn't able to comprehend all the things on healthcare.gov. I got confused. I'm not a person to give up, not at all, but with the system, I just wanted to quit. You know, that was not the predominant feeling that we got from most participants, feeling like they wanted to quit, but certainly that they just felt overwhelmed with the amount of information they were being asked to look at.
We're talking right now with Dr. Charlene Wong. She's a scholar and pediatrician at the University of Pennsylvania, also worked on the study we're talking about right now, showing that young people had difficulties in navigating the insurance marketplace and what that could mean, and also maybe how to help fix that problem. And one thing that came up, Dr. Wong, was the difficulty with the lingo, if you will, the language that surrounds all of the healthcare insurance buying processes, words like deductible and premium and coinsurance. What were some of the specific examples that you found there?
So, you know, these are really fundamental concepts for anyone to understand if you're going to make an informed decision about what health insurance you're going to choose. And they're especially important when looking at healthcare.gov, because when you're looking at these, you know, 30 options, what is shown and highlighted are the differences in the cost for the premium, the deductible, the coinsurance, and the copay. But what we were finding is, and the young adults identified this themselves very early on as they were in the observation period looking at these plan options, were that they just didn't really understand what a deductible was. So, for example, one person said they thought it was the more that you pay out of pocket, the more you get deducted for that amount, which is actually the opposite of what it actually is. And, in fact, we had one participant in our follow-up interview when we called him back to say, you know, how has it gone with your new insurance? He said, you know, before I signed up, I didn't really know what a deductible meant. I thought it was saying that it would cover $6,000 worth of stuff, because he purchased a plan that had a $6,000 deductible. So an example of one of these high deductible health plans. And so he thought that anything over that $6,000 he would have to pay for. But then he said, but I found out it was actually the other way around. Another, you know, interesting quote that a participant said that really illustrates just the confusion over all of these terms is that they said that, you know, this plan is $20 deductible to see my primary care doctor. This is 10% coinsurance. I just don't understand how much I would need to pay to actually see my primary care doctor.
So a lot of terms there that came up that ended up being pretty important. And did you ever want to step in and say, no, you've got it wrong. This is what deductible means, or this is how you pronounce coinsurance, for instance.
So, you know, we did do that after the study session that we had with the participants. We both actually gave them a glossary with definitions of all of these different terms, as well as if they had said something that was really incorrect during the study session, we made sure to correct them. We also partnered with one of the grantee organizations for the Federal Navigator Program in Philadelphia during the first open enrollment period, and we also gave all participants their contact information if they needed additional assistance in selecting a health insurance plan. Because another thing that the young adults in our study identified was that many of them looked for additional assistance. Many of them asked their parents or friends who had been through a similar process, or a substantial portion had also talked with navigators because they just recognized that they needed help.
What do you think is at the root of the problem with young people not understanding the ins and outs of healthcare plans?
I think it's not a problem that's only isolated to the young adult population. I think it's just the fact that health insurance, the way that it's set up in the U.S. as currently, is just complicated. I mean, I'm sure many of your listeners who have selected health insurance plans many times, each time you go through it, it's a difficult process. And then particularly now on the exchanges where there are often many more products or many more insurance plans available to people than, say, for example, if you have employer-sponsored insurance, where often you're choosing between, you know, a handful of plan options. It's just a difficult decision to make. But like I said, I think there are ways that healthcare.gov and the other state-based health insurance marketplaces could go about making the decision at least a little bit easier for consumers.
Right. And what would some of those ways be? Because as you said, you would kind of anticipate that this group of people who are so used to shopping online, for instance, that this would not be so difficult. So what could these insurers do and the federal government in setting up a website do to make it easier?
So, for example, for the issues that we identified with young adults not really being familiar with these basic health insurance terms, you know, an intervention could be as simple as just putting pop-up definitions when you hover your cursor over an important term. This is actually an idea that came from the young adults in our study because they said, you know, when we go on websites like apartments.com, you know, there are these sorts of explanations that appear as you're browsing on the website for terms that maybe not everyone is familiar with. We actually did make that recommendation both to healthcare.gov as well as to the other state-based marketplaces in an earlier publication from the same study, and we do know that more of the marketplaces now do have these sorts of pop-up explanations. And then another thing that young adults identified was they said that, you know, just a definition isn't enough, particularly for terms like deductible, which are a little bit harder concepts to grasp if you've never actually paid for your own health care before. And so what they said what they really wanted were both a definition, but then also what we called a narrative example, so that you would say something like, you know, Johnny fell off a tree and had to take an ambulance ride to the hospital that was a $600 charge. His health insurance plan had a $500 deductible, so he's going to have to pay $500 out of that $600 bill to meet his deductible before his insurance will kick in. And it was those sorts of examples that young adults found online in our study, and they said these are the sorts of things that we need to actually understand what these concepts mean.
We're talking right now with Dr. Charlene Wong about how young adults are doing when it comes to navigating the healthcare marketplace. Her new study finds that young people are struggling to understand health insurance basics, and it could be turning them away from buying coverage. And we want to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. If you're a young person who's navigated the marketplace, what was your experience? Did you struggle to understand the available options? And if so, did it stop you from buying coverage? And do you think we need better healthcare literacy here in the United States? What would that look like? What would help you? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking now with Dr. Charlene Wong. She's the lead author of a new study that looks at how young people are navigating the health insurance marketplace and finds a lack of healthcare literacy among that group. And we're taking your calls right now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. If you've navigated the healthcare exchange, did you feel confused by your options? What would have made it easier for you? We've talked a little bit about pop-up definitions, maybe with a narrative is one example. And do you think we need some kind of effort to increase healthcare literacy here in the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post your thoughts and questions over on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go to our callers now. We have Jerry with us in Madison. Jerry, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Oh, I have a question. I happen to be an insurance agent here in Madison, Wisconsin, and offer services free of cost to anyone looking for health insurance and helping them decide the plan, making sure that it's the correct fit for what they have as far as medical needs and prescription drug coverage. And again, that's a free resource to anyone that's looking for health insurance, whether it's on the marketplace or direct with a carrier.
So the person who approaches you, they wouldn't have to pay the bill. You get paid by who, the carrier, by the insurance company?
Correct.
Okay, so how would people go about, you know, for instance, finding someone like you?
I know navigators were mentioned earlier on the program, but there is on the website, and you can ask for assistance, and there would be a listing of different agents that are in a particular zip code where the member is applying for coverage.
Okay, got it, Jerry. Thank you for calling up and telling us about that option. What about that as an option, Dr. Wong?
Yeah, no, I think that that's great. You know, none of our participants identified that they had worked with an insurance broker. But again, all of those who worked either with a certified application counselor or a federal navigator, or even asking, you know, their parents or friends, particularly, you know, their parents, because they said they really know me well, they've done this before, found those to be very helpful resources.
And we're going to go next to Dave. Dave's joining us in Appleton. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'm just astounded that it'd even be a concern navigating the website. I've dealt with private insurance. I've always had to pay for my own insurance. And let me tell you, not only is the Affordable Care Act fairer and clearer, but the website is so easy and the choices are so much easier and you won't get ripped off and that sort of thing as you will with the private sites before the Affordable Care Act. I'm sure it could be made easier, but it's so much better, so much better. I have no complaints at this point. Of course, it can be better, but I am so happy to have this opportunity to use the Affordable Care Act.
And Dave, if you don't mind me prying a little, how old are you?
59.
59. So do you think maybe there was a slow accumulation of knowledge that helped you understand, you know, led to the ease you've had understanding the Affordable Care Act, or do you think just the website is that good?
Well, I think that the American public, very few of us really understand what goes on in our healthcare system. And until your employer stops covering you, so you remove the mama bear who's been covering you all these years and taking care of you and running interference with the healthcare system, when you're on your own, like I have been as an independent business person, and you realize how complicated and messed up and weird our healthcare system is, you look at the Affordable Care Act as a breath of fresh air. Now, people who always had their employer covering for them, you know, they always were taken care of. They were in a socialized situation where their employer was covering, and now they're dealing with the Affordable Care Act, perhaps because they lost a job or the employer stopped covering, and they go, oh, this is so hard. Come on. It is so much easier than before if you've ever been exposed to it before.
Interesting. Okay, thanks for your thoughts, Dave, and sharing that experience. And Dr. Wong, is there something to that? Is the Affordable Care Act exchange maybe not so difficult? Maybe the problem is being exposed to some of these issues in terminology earlier, maybe in school?
You know, I think, you know, just to be clear, the young adults in our study really liked a lot of the features that were available on healthcare.gov, namely one, that it was actually available online. They liked that there was a standardized way that information was presented about each plan and that you could compare plans side by side. They also really liked the use of the tiered metal system. So you've probably heard of their insurance plans that are classified as silver plans versus gold plans versus platinum plans, and they really liked that because that made sense to them. And again, I think they didn't, a lot of them, the participants in our study, just didn't have anything to compare this to because many of them were shopping for insurance for their first time, and so they couldn't say that this was easier or harder or better than what they might have done previously. I will also say that many of the young adults in our study were also very pleased with some of the discount programs that they qualified for, like the premium tax credits and the cost-sharing reduction plans, which brought their monthly premiums down, for example, to as low as 13 cents for some of the participants in our study. And so they were, of course, very thrilled with that component of the Affordable Care Act.
We're talking right now with Dr. Charlene Wong, clinical scholar and pediatrician at the University of Pennsylvania, talking about a study she did on young people, gauging how well they navigated healthcare.gov and the healthcare exchanges in general in buying health insurance. And to get at that bigger issue, healthcare literacy, how do you think that as a society we should best approach that?
So, you know, I think there's a couple different ways. Like I said, one is just to do kind of point-of-care, just-in-time learning with these sorts of pop-up explanations. I do think there's also room for even adolescents as they're transitioning into young adulthood as part of kind of education about how to become a young adult who's independent and purchasing your own things like health insurance and a car and these sorts of things. To learn what some of these terms and concepts mean, you know, it could happen in school, it could happen from your parents, it could happen potentially in the doctor's office. But it's clear from this study and also other studies and even broader populations that it's not just young adults that struggle with these terms, but it's actually even older adults, and particularly people who have been uninsured previously, don't understand what these words mean. So it's clear to us that there needs to be more education broadly about these important health insurance terms.
Now, talk about, if you would, some of these other groups that may be struggling with this and what could be done to help them. Besides older adults, are there people with language barriers, for instance?
Yeah, certainly people who don't speak English as their first language or who are immigrants to the country have been shown to struggle more. Also, people who have lower educational attainment struggled more. But again, the fact that we were dealing with a very highly educated sample of young adults, we would imagine that the difficulties they experience would only probably be amplified when you look at broader populations of young adults. So I think a couple of things. One, again, you know, actually putting these definitions, explanations on the websites universally so that everyone can see those. I think particularly for people who don't speak English as their first language, you know, navigating this online on your own may just be too much to ask for some people. And so really utilizing people like the navigators, the certified application counselors, the insurance brokers like the caller earlier, I think those are going to be the sorts of people who are going to be able to help explain both what these terms mean to people. And then the next more important step is to be able to also select a plan that's going to be best for that consumer or their family, meaning, you know, getting the right amount of coverage and at the best price.
And for future buyers, millennial or otherwise, maybe one of these other groups, what can they do to get ready for the next sign-up period?
So I think, you know, you can actually go on the websites now. Most of them have a window browsing feature, meaning that you can actually go in and see what plans you might be eligible for without actually having to put in any of your personal information. So going in there to see what's available to you, there are glossary links, if not already pop-up definitions on many of the websites. And, you know, reaching out to friends, family, navigators, insurance brokers, you know, early on to get assistance in trying to choose what plan might be best for you could only be helpful for the next open enrollment period, which will start in November of 2015.
Dr. Wong, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
That was Dr. Charlene Wong. She is a clinical scholar and a pediatrician at the University of Pennsylvania. Her latest research looks at how young people are navigating the federal healthcare marketplace.